Welcome to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church in Decatur, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur on the southeast side. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15 a.m., and if you do not have a church home, we would like to invite you to worship with us. My name is Pastor Matthew Versman, and I have the privilege of being the pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it as we begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whenever we come into God's presence, in fact, every day, it is appropriate for us to confess our sins and receive our Lord's forgiveness. And so let us confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you would have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. I have the privilege as a pastor of telling you that Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority in John chapter 20, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, and the text that I've chosen for Trinity Sunday is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, which reads, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things whatsoever I have commanded you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, today is Trinity Sunday. And on Trinity Sunday, we confess our faith in the triune God. As Christians, we are to faithfully confess back to God and out to the world what God has told us is true of him, whether we can comprehend it all or not. We oftentimes approach God's word with a magisterial use of our reason. That is, we place our reason over revelation, or as I like to put it, we make our brains bigger than the Bible. We put God in a box, and we sort of say, "God, you can't be this, and you can't do this because it doesn't make sense to me." In other words, we tell God what is true about him rather than letting God tell us what is true about him. Dangerous stuff. It's sort of like saying, "God, here's what we believe about you, and whether it's true or not, it's none of your business." And so the Trinity has been one of those doctrines throughout the history of the church that oftentimes come under attack by those who make their brains bigger than the Bible. In other words, they can't understand, nor can we comprehend, how God can be three persons in one God, or one God with three persons, but that is how God defines himself in the Bible. And Matthew 28 is just one of those. "Go and therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name." The Greek word for name is singular, because there is one God. But then when he gives us his names, he tells us that there's three persons in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, again, we oftentimes tell God who he can be and what he can do. And when we do that, we might end up with a God who's more comprehendable or comprehensible, but then it's not a God who's biblical. And it leads to all sorts of false doctrines and false religious groups. People have often rejected the triune God because they can't grasp or comprehend a triune God, so they make their brains bigger than the Bible. As a result, they cook up their own gods to make God more reasonable to their brain. And as a result, we've ended up with false religions, including Islam and Judaism and Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses. And at the core of every one of those false religions is a denial of the Trinity because they make their brains bigger than the Bible. We want God to fit nicely and neatly into our brains. And whenever he doesn't, we say, if I can't understand it, it ain't true. What you're saying is that God can be no bigger than your brain, which is the definition of making God in your own image. Luther said that we are to approach God with a ministerial use of our reason. In other words, we are to hold our reason captive to God's word. Because as Luther says, although my reason may err, God and his word cannot err. So why do we confess the Holy Trinity? That God is three persons in one God. Simple. That's who God says he is. Baptize them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because there's three persons in the Godhead. Think about it, folks. We oftentimes don't know how to follow a recipe, use our TV remote, or balance our checkbooks. And then we want to turn around and tell God who he can be and what he can do. God, you can't be triune because that doesn't make sense to me. And when we tell God that he can't be any bigger than my brain, we end up with a bunch of puny, non-biblical gods. Christians have never claimed to understand the Trinity. We simply confess what the Bible says. And we simply confess who God says he is. In other words, the way I like to put it is, God knows himself quite well. And he doesn't need my help or your help telling him who he is or what he can do, just to make himself more understandable to you. We're to let God tell us who he is and what he can do. And our role is simply to believe what he tells us and to confess back to God and out to the world what he tells us. In fact, if you've never thought about it like this before, the very fact that Christianity confesses a triune God, three persons in one God, something we can't comprehend, actually argues for the truth of Christianity and the Trinity. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Christianity didn't make this God up. If you were going to concoct a religion that you wanted everyone to believe, you would never cook up a God like this. Too messy, too complicated, too hard to understand, too hard to market. Three in one, one in three. What in the world does that mean? It's mathematical nonsense. So, to repeat my argument, in the end, you will either let God tell you who he is and what he's done, even if you can't comprehend it all, because God knows himself quite well. Or you will tell God who he is and what he can do, and you'll cook up a God like many religions throughout history who make God more comprehensible to our brains, but then he's no longer biblical or scriptural, like so many of the false religions of our world. You see, folks, there comes a time when you need to check your brain at the door and let God be God. Luther said, if there are things in Scripture you cannot understand, give the Holy Spirit the honor of being more learned than you are or than I am. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." R.G. Bunker of the old television show, some of our younger people probably won't know about it, but our older members will. R.G. Bunker of All in the Family once said, "Faith is believing what no one in their right mind would believe." But my response to that is this: faith is believing what everyone in their right mind would believe to be true if they still had their right minds. But our minds are scarred by sin. However, a day is coming when God will raise us from the dead, make us totally new again, and give us a right mind. And on that day, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, "And we will know God fully, even as we are fully known," which means that the triune God is finally knowable. It's just that the sinner in us refuses to know God or is incapable of knowing God unless he reveals himself to us, which he does in the flesh and person of Jesus Christ and by the Spirit-empowered words of God of the Bible. One of my former professors, Dr. Norman Nagel, who's now in heaven, he once put it like this: God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he does, and how he manages to pull it off is none of your business. Just believe it. There needs to be some holy crow eating and repentance when we try to make God in our own image. The Lutheran reformer Philip Melanchthon said, "We do better to adore and confess the mysteries of God rather than to investigate and try to perfectly understand them. Therefore, to draw us away from investigating his own majesty, God clothes his own Son with flesh and bone, that he might draw us to consider the meaning of his flesh." In other words, what God chiefly wants us to know about him is not a perfect understanding of his triune essence, but of his saving love for us in Jesus Christ. Galatians 2 verse 20 puts it like this: "Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." That's above all what God wants us to know. So, what is at stake if we confess God wrongly? What is at stake if we don't confess the Trinity? What's at stake is our salvation. Leif Grain, the Lutheran theologian, wrote, "What is always at stake with any error when it comes to God's word is salvation. If we deny the deity or humanity of Jesus, or the deity of the Holy Spirit, or the connection of the Spirit to the Son, this threatens our understanding of salvation as the complete and gracious act of God, and it places the burden back on you and me to save ourselves." In other words, let me put it in a way that maybe is a little bit easier to understand. To deny the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, places the burden on you to find another source of salvation, because it is God the Father who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Secondly, if you belittle or deny the second person of the Trinity, God the Son, who lived perfectly for us, suffered in our place, died on our behalf, and rose again for our salvation, then it places on you the burden to find someone else to pay for your sins or to pay for them yourself, but that's hell. And finally, if you belittle or deny the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, then you're left with having to convert yourself or to bring yourself to faith that clings to Jesus Christ as the Savior and to the redemption that God the Father provided for you. But you can't convert yourself or bring yourself to faith because God's Word tells us in Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That means spiritually dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. And dead things, flat out, can't do anything for themselves. Thus, to deny any person of the Trinity places the burden back on you to save yourself. Luther sums it up by saying this: we could never come to recognize the Father's love for us and grace for us were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of God's heart and love and grace for us. For apart from Christ, we see only an angry judge, but in Christ we see a gracious and loving and forgiving Father. Likewise, Luther says, neither could we know anything of Christ, our Savior, and all that he has done to forgive and save us, had it not been revealed to us and brought to bear upon our hearts by the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Trinity is the blueprint or the framework of a totally free salvation. God the Father is the source of the rescue plan that saved us, and we needed saving. Since God the Father is holy, he had to punish sin. However, if God the Father were to punish our sins on us, he would lose the very ones he loves dearly. So because he is just and must punish sin, but because he's also loving and didn't want to lose us, he chooses to punish our sins on a substitute. Isaiah 53, the Lord, that's God the Father, laid on him, that's God the Son Jesus, the iniquities of us all, and by his wounds, Jesus' wounds, we are healed. God the Son, Jesus, secondly, is our rescue. Since Jesus was without sin, he was qualified to be a substitute for others. Since Jesus is true man, he's qualified to live perfectly the life we should have lived. He's qualified to walk in our shoes. And also because he's true man, he's qualified to bleed and die. Now, since Jesus is also true God, he's qualified to give the world a God-sized life of righteousness to cover our sinfulness in God's sight, and he's qualified to give the world a God-sized death that forgives everyone's sins. Colossians 1 says it very succinctly: for God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ. Now there, God is God the Father. For God the Father was pleased to have all of his fullness, God the Father's fullness, dwell in Christ, that's God the Son. And notice it says all of the fullness of God the Father dwells in Christ, God the Son, which makes him equally God, and through Christ to reconcile all things to himself, being God the Father, by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. So God is the source of the rescue plan. Jesus Christ is the rescuer. And finally, that brings us to the Holy Spirit, who delivers the rescue to us personally. The Spirit so loved the world that he delivered Jesus, first of all, into the womb of the Virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit so loved the world that he equipped Jesus to keep the whole law for us. The Bible says Jesus was anointed with power and the Holy Spirit to fulfill all righteousness. After Jesus paid for all of our sins, he commended his Spirit back to the Father. There's the Trinity again. Jesus, God the Son, commended his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, back to the Father, God the Father. There's another example of the Holy Spirit, of the triune God. And finally, 1 Peter 3 says, Jesus was made alive again by the Spirit on the third day. Only God can raise dead things back to life. So God, the Holy Spirit, is also God. And now, think of the Holy Spirit as our UPS man. The Spirit brings Jesus' rescue and delivers it to our hearts through the Word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 2 says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from God. In other words, you can't convert yourself, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because we were dead spiritually, for they are spiritually discerned. But we have received the Spirit, who, he is a personal being, the Spirit who, third person of the Trinity, is from God, God the Father, also proceeds from God the Son, that we may understand everything that God has freely given us. Simply put, you have to be told you are saved by Jesus at the cross. You are forgiven by Jesus at the cross before you can know it. And you have to be convinced of Jesus' rescue, that it's for you before you can believe it. And both are the works of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Trinity is the necessary blueprint of an entirely free salvation and of a gracious God who does everything to save us. Lose the Trinity, and you lose salvation as a totally free gift of God. As I begin to close, how could God the Father love sinners enough to put his own Son to death to rescue us? We don't know how he could love us that much. All we know is that God loved us and gave his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:10. How could the Son, God the Son, become true man, absorb all the sins of the world into himself, take our place in hell, die as a substitute for everyone, and check back out of his grave alive? We don't know how. All we know is that the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And how can the Holy Spirit use a little water or a few words to forgive our sins and give us faith in Jesus, our Savior? We don't know how. All we know is that. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38, and by the Spirit, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, through Jesus the Son. There's another verse that declares the Trinity in John chapter 15. The Trinity is not intended to be scientifically dissected, mathematically explained, or completely understood. God is bigger than we are. It is simply to be trusted and confessed as the blueprint of who God is and of the God who has done everything to freely save us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we thank you for your gracious plan and the purpose of your heart, that, as it says in 2 Samuel, you devise ways so that sinners may not remain estranged from you. And boy, did you devise a way in offering up a rescue by which you would give your only begotten Son to live the life we should have lived so that we can receive his righteousness, and to die the death we should have died so that we can receive his forgiveness. And we thank you, Jesus, that you were in cahoots with the Father, and that you were in total agreement with the Father's plan of rescue, that you willingly came down to this earth as our rescuer, conceived of the Spirit, born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. You descended into hell to proclaim your victory. On the third day, you rose again from the dead victoriously. 40 days later, you ascended to heaven victoriously, and you are seated even now this day as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the right hand of God the Father, ruling over all things for the sake of your church, which is your body. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for delivering to us all that Jesus has done and all that the Father has given for us and for our salvation. Not only offering to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, but you, O Holy Spirit, convincing us that the gift is for us, and thus giving us the faith to believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in to the radio broadcast of Trinity Lutheran Church. Trinity Lutheran is located at 1960 East Johns Avenue in Decatur. Our Sunday morning worship is at 9 a.m. and are followed by Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:15 a.m. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to worship with us. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.